Great. Now, moving quickly on, we are absolutely thrilled to have with us this morning Greg and Sylvia Venables. May I ask you to please come up and let's give them a warm welcome. Thank you. Now, Greg and Sylvia, you need to know that this parish has supported SAMS, or the South American Mission Society, for about 50 years at least, and has given wonderful support over the years. And I think I first heard of you from Beryl Whitehead, who was actually Beryl Murphy. And I heard about this couple, the Venables. Tell us where you're from, Sylvia.
Before you do that.
Yeah. Can I just say, I've no idea where this interview is going to go.
Here,
that's your phone, Greg. The pacemaker will be coming out next. Right, Greg, we're listening.
I left my heart. Just to put your minds at rest, there is a rumor in South America that he and I were separated at birth. I just want to mention that when we begin. As far as we know, it's not the case. But it's generally believed now in South America that Bishop Panter and I were separated at birth. So you may now begin, Bishop.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. So, Sylvia, tell us a little... Are you on, Sylvia?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, good.
So, tell us a little bit about your family, Sylvia, okay?
What, now or when I was a child?
Well, no, just now. Yeah.
Oh, you, now, well, okay.
When did you marry this man?
In 1970.
Is that the year you married Sylvia, Greg?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And how did you meet? Tell us how you met.
Shall I? Yeah, okay. Well, I grew up...
Yeah. Carry on.
I grew up in Kingston on Thames.
Yes.
And I went to a church called St. Peter's Norbiton, which is the north of Kingston. And this week I heard the sad news that my brown owl had died. And after 40 years of not seeing her, I met up with her 21 years ago. And I discovered that she'd prayed for all the brownies. And so I was able to share with her husband for the funeral on Tuesday that she sowed the seed in my life, and I wasn't even aware of it. And the day I heard the news, just 2 days after she died, I read my upper room devotional, and it was the reading from Ecclesiastic, and it says, remember that your creator in the days of your youth. And I would say that thinking about Mary, the brown owl, that her ministry was unknown and probably unknown to the rest of the brownies. But she sowed the seed and she taught those young, or she tried to instill in them to know God in your youth, and that is so important. Mm. I didn't actually know, or I was blind until I was 22, but then I repented and I became a Christian at the age of 22 in the same church, funnily enough. Mm. And that's where Greg and I met. So it's this week I've had a lot of sort of reminiscing, if you like. But I thank God for Mary Brownell and her teaching. And I would encourage from the tiny children, which she tried, to the oldest people here who have probably been working hard, and some of them might have been Sunday school teachers or brown owls or whatever, but don't be discouraged, because you never know. The miracle was that we found each other, you know, yeah, after 40 years, so that was wonderful.
As we speak, the kids are out.
Yeah.
How important,
yeah,
the ministry is to those children.
I just remember that in Ecclesiastes 12, it says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, and I can thank God for
Mary. So you met Greg. Yeah. Is it true he had long shoulder-length hair?
Yeah, he had long hair. I was just recently a Christian. I gave my life to the Lord in April 1969. And in November 69, I was supposed to be directing a play, which was absolutely atrocious. I'd been a comedy.
You were directing, or the play was atrocious?
My directing. I had been in a dramatics club for many years, and when they found out at the church, recently converted, they said, oh, we've wanted to put a play on for years. You know, would you do it? And me, so enthusiastic, I said, yes. And I realised within about 6 weeks that directing was very different to being in a pantomime or whatever, you know. And so I was saying, oh, Lord, please send someone that knows a little bit about acting. And then on the 9th of November, it was remembrance service, that's why I remember it, I was sitting in church dreading the end of the service when I had my famous rehearsal. And suddenly I noticed, oh, there's a tramp.
There's a tramp?
Yeah. And I thought, wow, good old Jackie and Val, you know, because they were two girls that helped me know the Lord. I said, good old Jackie and Val sitting next to that tramp. And then at communion, I just sort of noticed, oh, no, he's a student. He just looks like a tramp, you know. So, and I thought, ah, that's why Jackie and Val are sitting next to him, you know. So, anyway, after the service, I suddenly saw this young man looking at me, and I thought, oh, no, he's going to see the rehearsal. Oh, dread. And he said, I've had a bit of experience of acting at school. Would you like any help? And I said, yeah, yeah. Go in the hall and listen. And I thought, anything to get him out of the way, you know. He's going to see it. And suddenly this voice comes out of the darkness of the hall saying, Alan, move to the right. George, move to the left. And I thought, wow, he knows what he's doing. Well, that was him, you know.
So the tramp was taking authority.
Yeah, we hit it off straight away.
I'm checking the calendar here, Sylvia, just a wee minute. So I think we're going to have to keep moving.
No, that's all right.
You thought he was a tramp at first.
Yeah, that's right, but he wasn't.
No, and did you fall in love quickly or slowly?
Yes, within 3 weeks.
Within 3 weeks. And how did he propose to you, briefly?
He said, I think I'm in love with you, so I cried. He often tells a story, he saw this little tear.
Oh, right. He got emotional, did he? Right.
No, I mean, it was unexpected.
Oh, she cried.
Because he was only 19 and I was 23, so I thought I was too old, you know. Oh, yeah, so anyway,
No, just tell us, so many years later, how many kids do you have?
Three.
Grandchildren?
Seven.
Seven. Where are they living?
Paraguay.
Paraguay. All of them. And for those who don't know, Stephen and Eileen True lived and worked and served in Paraguay.
They helped our youngest. They made friends with our youngest when she went there to study.
Good. Yeah. Sylvia, can I just say thank you? Give her a round of applause. Great. Thank you. Now, Greg, how did you come to faith?
Thank you very much, Sylvia.
I've never thought of you as a tramp before. I did know you had the long shoulder-length hair, but I didn't realise that. But how did you come to faith, Greg?
Oh, gosh. How many hours have you got?
You've got...
I was a student.
1 minute, 2 minutes.
I was a student. I was playing in a rock band, and I decided to completely ignore God. It was a decision. I'm going to ignore God. And it was August 1969, we were getting ready with the band to do a gig, and three boys I'd known at school who were Christians, and they were now at university with us, came to visit. And they just sat there while we were practicing. And then when the rest of the guys went off to the pub, I had to look after these friends. And we talked till 4 a.m. And I said, look, you can't prove God. You cannot prove that God exists. I know you can't. And as they left, the last one to leave looked round and said, so what are you going to do with Jesus? And I went up to my room and I knew that was the question. You can ignore God, but what are you going to do with Jesus? And before I went to sleep, I looked out of my bedroom window, which looked over the English Channel, and the sun was just coming up. It was about 4:30. And I said, if you exist, I want to know you. went to sleep, got up at 7, went to get a train. And so I walked down the steps on this little countryside railway station to get to the platform, no one else around. I heard a kind of noise like a leaf, and I looked round. It was a bit of paper, and it landed at my feet. I bent down and picked it up, and it said, "What shall I do with Jesus called the Christ?"
Wow.
And underneath, "Why haven't you answered this question?" I believe that God gives us what's called the gift of faith. As I sat on that railway bench, I knew God. And I became a Christian. That was 1969. And believe me, God is faithful.
Amen. Isn't that a remarkable story? I've heard that before, and I think it's one of the most remarkable stories, that bit of paper just flying on the railway platform, and the rest is history. Greg, that is quite a long time ago. I mean, there were many people here not born that year.
Don't remind me.
You've kept going, and you and Sylvia are as keen for the Lord now as I have ever known you to be. Just share with us maybe one or two of what you would say are the secrets or the things that have really kept you and Sylvia going in your love for the Lord, in your relationship with the Lord. What would you say?
I would say, first of all, just trust God. Nothing else. Trust God. Do you know the worst thing you can say about somebody is that you can't trust them? It's the worst thing. And yet we constantly insult God. Trust God. You can trust him. And when you get to glory, you'll know that that was true. Well, believe it now. And there are two sides of being a Christian you have to have very clear. One is the word. If you do not know the word of God, then you're going to just remain a baby your whole life. You must study the word of God. Read the Bible. Sylvia and I use the McChain system, which gives us 4 chapters a day. And we read the word of God. That means Sylvia has now read the Bible, well, how many times? 40 times through. And the other thing is, be filled with the Spirit and go on being filled with the Spirit. Word and Spirit. And don't, as I was saying to you, Simon, don't mature in the wrong way. So many people think they're growing up, whereas really they're losing it. Keep young in Jesus and keep going. And remember when we were setting off, I'm sure that a number of my friends here who also worked in South America will remember Derek Hawkesby teaching us all the missionary hymn, the secret to getting to the end. It's only got 2 words. Go on, go on, go on, go on. Go on, go on, go on. Go on, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on. And then the chorus. Go on, go on, go on, go on. And I forget how many verses there are. Go on. Keep going. Keep going. Don't give up. And trust. Word and Spirit. Okay?
Thank you so much. Greg, finally, you and Sylvia are in Ireland this week for what? Where are you going to this afternoon, and what will you be doing?
We were doing new wine at Sligo a couple of years ago, and Ali Calvin, who's in Killeshandra, came up to me and said, "Would you do a mission for me?" And I said, "Yes." So that's why we're here.
So a week's mission in Killeshandra, and some people have no idea where Killeshandra is. It's in County Cavan. County Cavan, and Ali Calvin is a wonderful rector there whom God has been using. So please, as a church, pray.
Lots of prayer, please, for that.
The mission starting tonight in Killeshandra, finishing on Sunday night in a week's time.
And the wonderful thing is that I got an email a week ago from a friend. He said, "I hear you're going to be in Ireland. Will you please give my greetings there?" Pope Francis. Yeah. And he said, when you're over there, do give my blessing and love. So if you want to receive it, you can. Yeah.
Well, let's pray for Greg and for Sylvia and Killeshandra this week. Lord, we want to thank you for the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And whether we look like a tramp or whether we're young or old or whatever age we are, thank you that your gospel is for us. And we just thank you that it's a gospel that changes lives. And we pray that this week you will so use Greg and Sylvia that lives will be changed in Killeshandra, in County Cavan. Lord, we pray against the evil one who will seek to divide and destroy, and we just pray, Lord, that there will be a powerful move of your Holy Spirit, that many people will come to know the Lord Jesus, of people of all ages, Lord. Move in power this week, we pray, for the glory of your name. Amen. Thank you so much, Greg.
And I only looked, is the sound on still?
Yep.
I only looked like a tramp from certain angles. If you go into Facebook, you'll see that it wasn't always that way, okay?
And also, if you are on Facebook, go on to, is it Greg Venables' Facebook? Because you'll actually see him playing the guitar and singing as well.
Oh, no.
It's really good. I don't often say that, but it is really good.
Every song has a government warning underneath.
Every song has a government warning. But just put into Facebook search Greg Venables and you'll get it.